wild about the sense of smell and how it brings you back to things from your childhood or past memories. And wait, what did you say the smell was? Saffron?
It was like saffron. Saffron? Kind of, yeah. Some kind of flower or some anything in that family.
Word. Yeah, that is a trip. Like whenever I smell aftershave, like Celsin Blue, like that electric razor aftershave. Okay. Typically, I feel like only older men do it. Like no one our age does that. But there's a certain generation that did, and the cologne is really a musk. It's Draco Noir.
Oh yeah, that's a classic.
You put both of those together. That's what my grandfather smells like.
Oh okay.
Yeah. Sometimes when I smell it, I'm like, whoa. Papa.
Right. Yeah. Even my dad always used to I think it was called Curve. You ever heard of that cologne? I'm big on cologne. Oh, I actually have a cologne collection.
Was it the blue bottle?
There was a blue bottle, one, but there was also like a green with yellow. A
green and yellow. Yeah, I know that one. Yeah.
So that was one of my dad's go-to, and like whenever, I mean, I don't happen to smell it because I don't think anyone really wears it anymore. But like if I do smell that, it's like an instant, like
yes,
like. That you know, kind of moment.
Back. Yeah, he's near, he's back. Nearby. Yeah. He's another room.
Yeah, yeah. And it's crazy because I think even in with all like you know the sensory stuff like smell and visual, and then you have like music, mm-hmm. right? Like you can hear a song and just be like, "Whoa!" I remember being 4 years old mm-hmm. and like my mom, my sister, my brother, my uncle, whoever, mm-hmm. you know, playing this. And it's not so much about the song anymore. Like it's what that song means. You yep. know, it's adding that, what it adds to that memory. It's just like, whoa, like I sometimes have those times where I'm like, man, this reminds me of like Sunday morning, mom cleaning, mm. you know, dancing in the living room. I haven't heard this song in like 15, 20, 25 years.
Yep.
And I still know the words.
Yep.
That's the crazy part for
me. Power of music. That's why I think it's a dangerous game to play karaoke or go to karaoke with people. So I'm like, if someone puts on, it's as random as a jukebox. Like it comes on, like, oh man, that was in fourth grade. I remember I really liked this girl, but she liked my best friend. And then I was feeling all these things I never felt before because I was in fourth grade.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's even sometimes I judge music based on like the time that I was in.
Absolutely.
Like I'll hear a song and be like, oh, this is high school.
Oh yeah, I do that.
Oh, this is 2007, summer of 2007. Oh, I was I was with my ex at that time when this song came out.
Yes.
Like we used to play it on our way to the beach. Yes. When I got my first car.
Yes.
So it's just like you go into like layer by layer. Oh, this song, it was at, you know, I never went clubbing, but like, oh, this was at every club in the summer of 2009. Because I remember I just got out of high school.
This is that so, jam.
Yeah,
that was the jam.
Exactly.
Right there.
Yeah. Yeah. Summer jam. Yeah. So wow. Even stuff like that is crazy how you can connect it to, you know, a memory or memories. And then people get, you know, people are also playing their role in those memories because it could be an ex, it could be a friend, someone who may or may not be here in the physical realm anymore.
Yep.
So even stuff like that is like, whoa, it can trigger a lot of things.
Yep. And that's actually one of the things I look forward to in the day is just hearing that song I guess nowadays it's, if I hear it sampled and I know the original where it came from, even if it's before my time, connected to a memory, good or bad. And if it's bad, just walk through it in order to not be affected and have it ruin my present, you know? And when it comes to just strength and conditioning, that's one aspect. And then another aspect is the healing and the recovering of past memories. And I was thinking to myself earlier, like, oh, what am I talking about on the podcast? Here are some pitfalls that people often get into when they start working on their health, or working on their physique, is getting thrown off by one of those memories that just comes out of nowhere.
Yeah. You know?
And one of the things that could be a healthy exercise that you just do by yourself is walk through that rabbit hole of where your mind goes. and then address where that the problem was, where the hiccup was, just so you could correct that. I don't even want to say core belief. I think it's more like, did you ever hear the analogy of the interior castle?
No.
All right. So, in the heart of mankind, you have an interior castle, many rooms, many different purposes. But some people live their entire life and they're only in the garage, right? They didn't even go in.
Got it.
Right. And so in the garage, you store things, right? You might have equipment, your car, or just junk. Well, could you imagine if you're just surrounded with junk in your heart and you never just organized it, let alone going into the basement?
Right.
Right. And what if your basement was actually a pleasant place? Like, you have casks of wine, liquor. I know you don't drink.
And right.
I come back too. But imagine if it was more, oh, when I have friends come over, we go play pool in the basement. And it's a place of just, it's like a living room, but it's more like a den. I don't know. I've never heard anyone really say den
in
California, but on the East Coast, it's more common.
Okay.
But imagine there's a place of lounging that's like a more communal bat cave and a man cave, right?
Right, right.
So imagine those are just small aspects of what you could have. Well, if you go deeper and deeper, there might be a place that's more like the residence of the king, right? Oh, look at this royal room with the spread, this banquet hall, right? Imagine it's heavily guarded. Unless you're invited, you can't come in. There'd still be open air, so lizards could come in. Oh, well, lizards don't really pose a threat.
Right.
But you can catch them with your hands, right?
Yeah.
To throw them out. Well, the analogy that I'm getting at is those random thoughts sparked from a song or a smell, that could be a lizard. Mm. So sometimes it's good to catch the lizards, throw them out, or just be like, oh, hey, lizard, whatever.
Yeah.
Right. So.
Yeah, you know, I've heard and I can see how, you know, that's the thing. But I've heard that the people who've been big like most of their life, where maybe they identify themselves as this big person, like that's their identity, and they carry it whether they see it as positive or negative, or they deal with it in certain circumstances. But like, I've heard stories of like people actually losing the weight, you know, and cutting the weight 150, 200 pounds, whatever it may be, no longer really being on like the obese spectrum, but they still feel obese, but they still like they'll fit on size 34 jeans, and look at themselves and they literally will tell you like, I still feel like this big person, I still feel obese, I still feel like I need another 100 pounds, because what, like, the reflection is telling them something that you and I are both not seeing. But I think when you carry that belief about yourself for such a long time and it's part of your identity, you know, it's like you've always been the big guy. Yo, big guy, yo, big man, big boss, yo, you know what I'm saying? Like, when it gets to that, then it's almost like you even start to believe it.
Yes.
Which kind of goes into the whole concept of like, you know, like the people who are like, you know, in the like manipulators and stuff, they're just extremely calm and really good liars, because that's what you believe, right? They're not like this. What you see in the movies is like, it could just be an average Joe, but it's in the word and the way it's phrased. So I think if these people have been talking to themselves a certain way for so long, I mean, even your football coach would be like, hey, yo, you know, Big Dave, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, well, I've always been Big Dave. And you can never let go of that image. I find that such, I've never been like a big person. I've always been, for the most part, pretty fit, but I can see how someone may have trouble kind of shedding that old version of themselves.
Absolutely. And you just keyed in on something really important, is the mental work, the psychological work needed to do outside of the external. It's all right. How do I see myself and who am I now? What are those things from the past that you can let go? Because that's a lot of baggage. And that goes into disorders, right? Anorexia would be one of those moments, right? And if you were to talk to someone who's anorexic, they'd say the same thing you're saying. Like, oh, I am still fat. Oh, I could lose just 5 more pounds, right? Meanwhile, they're eating 200 calories a day and working out nonstop, right? And then the other end of the spectrum is not letting it go of who you used to be and to adjust in who you are now, right? And when those things are together in balance, they're synced up, oh, you're a dynamic, full-functioning human being. And I think that's a double-edged sword, right? It cuts both ways, because if you don't focus, if you focus on one end, the physical end, more than the psychological end, there's going to be an imbalance, and then vice versa. And so a lot of this, like, that's the reason why I even brought up this exercise of catching the lizards, right? Because that's something that could pollute what you're taking in and how you see yourself and how that would impact your perspective on how people see you, right? Like, imagine you just got the shape of your life, and then people are like, oh wow, look at how great you look, look at how great you look. At some point you have to have the humility to accept that is the thing. So the damage might actually be on the way you perceive yourself.
Got it.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's a very you know, interesting topic, because I think from the exterior people can physically see that you're not what you think, you're not what you're saying you are. It's physically proven, but to them I think it touches on such a deep core of a belief within themselves that it's you can't shake them from their own truth, what they believe it's their own truth. And you know, like they say something where it's like, you know, if you think you can, you're right. If you think you can, you're also right.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I love that saying.
And I remember seeing that. I don't know, it was probably one of those Facebook memes or whatever, but I remember reading that, and it kind of like, it really stuck to me, because I started thinking, like, anytime I've said or truly believed in myself or bet on myself or, you know, taken risks, even when it's not, even when I don't achieve what I thought I wanted or what I perceived as the goal, the way things end up mapping out always seem to favor me in some way, always seem to favor me. Where it's almost like, oh yeah, like you wanted this and you worked so hard for this and I understand that, but guess what? I'm going to give you this instead. You're like, no, I want this. Like, no, but you don't even know what's behind door number 5.
Yes.
Because you're so stuck on like this one thing, and then door number 5 is like 300,000 times better.
Yes.
Than what you were chasing. And I've learned that as I've gotten, you know, much older. Like we were just talking about, like, my birthday just passed and whatnot.
Happy birthday. And happy belated.
Thank you. And I was just kind of like just having a moment, you know, to myself and for myself, just evaluating certain things. And I was like, man, anytime I thought something went wrong or it was something that was uncomfortable or awkward or I didn't like the direction, if I just stayed true to myself and stayed within the course, things just always seem to just favor me in one way or another. I may not see it at the direct moment, and then here comes like a missing piece to that puzzle. It's like, oh, so then I met him who then led me to him, and now because of they, I got to meet this person, and now we're, and it's just like that opened that door to this, and it's just like, whoa, it's kind of that, you know, it's one of those things. And I think it's very important where it's like, if you adapt that thing where like, I can't lose that weight. If you have a wedding in 3 or 4 months and you're like, I need to lose 25 pounds, I got 4 months, and you're like, I don't think I can do it, then honestly, you won't do it.
You won't do it.
You won't do it. But if you just change that perspective and you flip that switch and you're like, 25 pounds, 4 months, okay. All right. You already start making out ways that you're going to make it happen. Then you could do it. You will do it.
You can. And that's, you ever heard the expression, fortune favors the bold?
Mm-mm.
That's a more secular take on what you had just mentioned. Whether you believe you can do it or if you believe that you can't do it, both are true. And in that instance, it's the, you're prepared, you risked it, and then you found out there are many options, new options. Whether you didn't realize there are more options that are even greater than the thing that you had your eyes and focus set on, that's up to you. But the principle is still there. And I like to take it even deeper, going into the wisdom literature of our Jewish brothers and sisters, where it says, you know, have multiple rods in the fire, right? Do multiple business ventures, because you don't know which one will succeed. Maybe one will work out, the other one won't work out. Maybe they both will work out, but you don't know until you put it out there.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, that's my high school coach actually had this saying that was like, I'm sure it's not from him, but he was big on it, and it was something along the lines of like, I might butcher it a bit, so excuse me.
Oh, hey, okay.
It says something like, a setback is a setup for a comeback.
Oh man, I dig it.
Yes. I've always loved that one.
Yes,
I always love, and I think it was a speech that he gave when we got eliminated, like, you know, in the playoffs to, I think it was like our rivals at the time or whatnot. And I'm a very competitive dude, so like I take losses to heart.
Oh yeah, like, take it personally.
Like I could have done better. Like, we're better than this team. Like, we beat ourselves. Like, how could this happen? Like, you run the game 1,000 times in your head after, yes, the game, and it can torture you, you know. But it's something that he said. I just remember like really thinking about it and being like, man, like, you know, setbacks are setups for comebacks, and I was like, whoa. And it's kind of like the slingshot method, right?
Absolutely.
Where it's like one of those things where it's like, sometimes you got to stretch, you got to get stretched really far back, where you feel like, man, my life is just going backwards. I'm taking L after L after L, but you don't understand that you're getting ready to be launched, boy. Like, you're getting ready to receive and go further than you ever thought you will. And if you stay grounded, if you stay, you know, especially with faith, if you,
yes,
if you can feed it, if you can stay aligned with your true goals and your values, I think you reach that moment where you're like, whoa, I get it now. Like, it's crazy how time does that. And anytime I've had, like I said, anytime I've had a setback, especially like, you know, last year was probably the hardest year of my life, but I look at it now and be like, man, all these L's that I took, and it just launched me to the right people. It launched me where, like, I had to maybe cut some friends off. I had to stop doing certain things that I was doing, or certain habits. You know, I got a lot more serious about my health. All these things that, like, if I look at it now, I look at the pros and cons, and I can write a list of like, whoa, like, my life is so much better in terms of, you know, I'm more productive. Like, I've gained, in the past 6 months, I've met like 2 or 3 people that, like, I'm like, whoa, I wish I would have met you guys earlier. Like, you guys are awesome. Like, you guys are like, I've only known you 6 months, but it feels like I've known you like 10 years. It's a brotherhood, you know? And it's like, it all starts to make sense. Even obviously being living in Pasadena, like, knowing I used to be there and I did not want to move. It's like, why would you want to move from Pasadena?
Yeah.
Like, I loved it.
Perfect.
I loved it there. The people I, you know, was with, and when I had to leave, I saw that as a setback. I saw that as like, whoa. Then I come here, and then it's like, I'm working, you know, with label talent from probably one of the hottest labels out right now. But that was only able to happen if I moved from Pasadena.
Yeah.
So all that just meant, it just, you know, to kind of sum it up, just really, really, really ties it in, where if you just change that perspective and understand that it's not happening to you, it's happening for you.
Yeah.
You can really, really start, like, you know, reaping the benefits. There's an artist, I forget his name, but he says something like, just planted the seed and already can smell the fruit.
Wow.
Like, that's, to me, that's like, the kind of confidence you got to have in what you're sowing, and understanding that you're going to reap great things out of this.
Yes.
It's a big thing for sure.
And that is such a great metaphor for planting, because it takes time to grow. Take the seed, put it in the ground, water it, nothing happens. The sun hits it, a lot of things are happening under the surface, nothing happens. Water it some more, starts to get a little dry, right? Keep it a little bit hydrated, nothing happens. But then when it starts to bud, it breaks through, and then starts to bud, and then opens up and grows. Like, okay, cool. To go from point A to point Z, right, where it's smelling the goodness of whatever you planted, smelling that fruit, that's what I'd call prophetic, right? You need to be able to do that as an exercise practically anytime there's anything that has a challenge. Okay, hold on, it's worth it. Is it worth it? I don't see any progress. You don't have to. There's still stuff going on underneath the surface, right? Fast forward in time, you're there. People say, hey, how'd you do it? Oh, well, you know, I just planted a couple seeds. Well, there was a ton of time where I said the same thing. I'm like, is this gonna work?
Yeah.
Hopefully this turns around sometime. So yeah, I want to just switch gears a second and go to talking about what happens in between time, right? Like, what in those dark periods, if you don't mind going into it, you don't have to go into serious detail.
Yeah.
But when you had the hardest year of your life, what was the thing on those days that didn't look like anything was changing, and you're replaying how it got to this point? What was the thing that had you move to the next day, move to the next day, move to the next week?
To be honest, I think during those days, like, those days feels like you're living 3 days in one. Because time feels like it moves really slow. Like, you can be in bed up by 7 and you feel like you've been in bed for like 12 hours. And then you look and it's like 10 a.m. It's like you don't want, it's like, you know, it's like that thing. It's like you don't want to get out of bed. Right? Just getting out of bed is a task in itself.
Sure. Yep.
When you're kind of just, you know, you're in the trenches. You're you're in this dark place, right? Yeah. And for me, I think to be honest, like, the thing that I was very thankful, because I was trying to figure out what can I do as soon as I wake up to just give me like a perspective to just like keep it moving. Like, keep it, I mean, I'm gonna feel what I'm gonna feel, but keep it moving. And one of the things that I found that was like, honestly, it really was the key, was as soon as I would wake up, I'd go to the restroom, brush my teeth, and I go straight to the gym.
Nice. That's a routine.
And that became like my thing.
Yes.
It was like moving my body and just sweating and the adrenaline and like the pump and then the sauna, and then I was shooting hoops. And then next thing you know, it's like 10:30, 11 if I was there for 2 hours, an hour and a half or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, okay, like, kind of like we're midday. Mm-hmm. But that was such a, it was such a great jump start to my day that it didn't, you know, allow me to get into this state of mind where I'm replaying a scenario or I'm replaying something where, you know, I ended up being, you know, a victim of something. Mm-hmm. Or like, you're, it almost, you know what it feels like? It feels like a scenario that you wish you could change, but you're in a cul-de-sac and it's a dead end every time.
Every time.
And you're trying to find a way for it not to be what it is, but it is what it is, you know? Yep. But you know, they say it takes your, you know, your body knows it, your mind knows it, but it just takes your heart a little longer to catch up. And I think I found out how powerful emotions can be, you know, good and bad.
Good and bad.
It just depends how you weave them, and if you're able to have I don't want to use the word control, but if you happen to just be really good with navigating your emotions, let's use that word, if you become really good at navigating your emotions, especially when things aren't going your way, and it doesn't have to be anything super duper serious, but just like, you know, maybe a dude at your job is just pissing you off today, there's traffic where there normally isn't traffic on your way to work. Like, it doesn't have to be a life-changing kind of situation, but if you just learn how to navigate those emotions, and I think you become much more productive in your day, and you can go longer periods without diving into the past. diving into what happened, diving into trying to change the scenario, because I feel like it's in your heart's best interest to not want to feel that way.
Absolutely.
So they're trying to like negotiate with your mind, like, yo, so what really did happen here? Can we break it down? And you're like, there's nothing to break down, man.
Yeah, nothing.
Like, we're being present.
Yes.
And I think that's what you get robbed of when you're going through your darkest days, is that you're still living in a certain time frame where certain events happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes so tough to leave that time and space, because you're leaving a part of yourself back there, and you don't know what the future looks like without this house, without this business, without this person, without whatever it may be, right? And we all know, like, as humans, we just fear the unknown. Many people don't ever quit that job because of the unknown. You know, many people don't leave a certain comfortable situation because it's like, oh, I'm already old and I'm too old, blah, 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 the unknown. So for me, I think the biggest thing, honestly, Dave, was like working out. I was going to the gym twice a day.
Awesome. I support that decision.
It was one of those things where it was right when I would wake up, do the gym, blah, 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 and then by like 11, 12, be at the studio, and I would feel so much better. And then I had this rule where it was like, I usually finish here at the studio like 10, 11 p.m. And I go to 24-Hour Fitness, so it's open.
Oh, wow.
It's open all night. And I have one down the street. So my rule was, before I go home, I need a sweat.
Okay.
So that when I go home, I'm tired. I take a nice shower and my body gets relaxed. I have some tea or whatever. I would have the best sleep of my life.
Awesome.
So it was like morning, wake up, gym, studio, before you go thing. Get your workout in, get tired, get it all out, get that day out, go home, shower, sleep, and just repeat. That literally was my, and I think if I didn't do that, I think I would have spent a lot more time just down in the dumps.
Yep.
And just staying
in your own head.
Yeah, almost yeah. Getting into the point where I think some people stay there so long, they get comfortable yes. there. And that's dangerous.
Yeah, that's definitely the most dangerous game. And what you had just keyed in on, I think that's the nugget for today, of when you get kicked in the teeth by life and it doesn't look like it's going to work out for you, find that routine that is healthy and just stick to that until you get you step out of yourself, and then learn how to adjust what's happened in your mind and in your heart, but you're still doing something physical. So going to the gym twice a day, I completely am on board for that life. And then not neglecting your work, not neglecting your duties, and then doing something out of the ordinary, like a two a day. Oh yeah. You found it.
Yeah. And I ended up, the other thing that I think people, I just feel like it's natural to not think of it while you're going through it, but the kind of lessons and the things that you learn about yourself after the storm has passed, because no storm lasts forever.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So I kind of saw it like this. I kind of saw it as like, okay, like I can sit here and pout and just kind of stay in it. And when the storm's over, I'm still going to be the same person, which to me is just like, why would I go through all that and still be the same?
Yes.
Why not go through it and learn stuff about myself, become better, become healthier, stronger, look better, feel better, fit into things I haven't fit in over a year? So it's like, I'd rather just use that pain. They say pain's the greatest motivator, right? So it's like, I'd rather use that pain and this dark time. And when that dark cloud is gone, I'm a much better version of when I was going through that situation. And, you know, I was fasting a lot too, and you know, you brought up a point about like healthy ways to cope with things and healthy alternatives to give back to yourself, give back to your body. And I know, you know, drugs and alcohol are probably, I would say, one of the most popular coping mechanisms, right? And the funny thing is that even in like, they say when you, and I know this, I don't know with everyone, but at least for me, like when I was doing 16 hour fast, and I had my whole routine down and whatnot, I learned very quick that like I have a insanely sweet tooth, mm-hmm. and I crave sweets. And
guilty.
Through fasting, I learned that this was something that I needed to start cutting out from my life, like sugar, like sweets. It wasn't so much about the carbs. It wasn't so much about da da da. And I was like, wow, it's crazy how like me putting myself through something that's gonna help my body and make my body, which I already felt, I would wake up and I would feel like Superman, dude. Mm-hmm. Like I was just like, felt light as a feather, mm-hmm. all this energy. And people were like, but you haven't ate in like 16. I was like, dude, I felt so good. I was doing like fasted cardio. Mm-hmm. So I was doing all these things and I learned a lot, like, oh, okay, like I need to cut back on sugar. So then I did that. And then I realized like, I don't need a nap at 3 p.m. anymore. Like, I have all this energy. Like, I'm good. You know, I don't need to rely on that cup of coffee for energy. It's like, I'm good. So it was a lot of like teachings that I was learning about the way my body worked too, as I was putting off this weight, that I think was like such an eye-opening experience for me, because I've always been thin my whole life, very athletic. I played sports since I was 4 or 5 years old, played basketball and soccer my whole life, competitively, in school, out of school, tournaments, travel. I mean, I did, by the time I was 15, I had visited like 20 of the 50 states. Whoa, just playing soccer. Hey. Yeah, so like I was that kid, very, very, very athletic, very competitive. But these are things that I didn't know about myself. And when I started cutting off sweets and not drinking my calories and
yes.
and like the sugar in like these drinks, especially, it's like, I didn't know like, oh, it's only 6 grams of sugar. Then it's like 6 added grams. It's like, oh, so now you're at 12. But I didn't know that. So all these things that I started learning, and it only made me feel better. I think it also helped with that mental fog that you get when
yeah, awful.
Exactly. So yeah, all that stuff, I think, man, it was such a, like, now I would look at it and be like, I wouldn't take anything from it. Like, yeah. I wouldn't change any of it. Like, it was so crucial to, I think, my development, which is funny. I was talking to Liz, right? You know Liz.
Of course.
And I was telling her.
Episode 24.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. We were having a cigar. You know, we're having a cigar together at the lounge.
Nice.
And I was kind of telling her this theory that I was like, you know what? I think everyone should hit rock bottom at least once in their life.
Yes.
At least once.
Man. I'm with you.
I think there's just so much just character carving and building there. There's so much lessons in there that I think there are only great tools for you to go out into the world and use them. And I can tell you that I feel like I went through that, because it wasn't just like one thing. It was mentally, it was spiritually, it was financially. Like,
yes.
I was getting hit left and right, like uppercuts. Like, it was at the point where I was like, let me catch a break.
Yes.
Like, the 27
hit combo.
Yeah. Yeah, like Mortal Kombat. Yeah. So yeah, you know, it was just like, yo, like, am I being picked on right now? Like, yeah. I felt like Ashton Kutcher was gonna come out, like, yeah. You've been punked.
Uh-huh. But it was all a joke.
But he never came out.
Yes, never came out. Yes. That's exactly what it's like.
He never came out, bro. So yeah, definitely I think there's a lot of of lessons in there that I think people can really learn from, and it's the beautiful struggle.
Absolutely. And there's a couple things to take away from that. And what I found out about myself was the amount that's actually left in the tank when you're hungry. And fasted cardio was so effective because your body's like, hey, we need energy. We're going to eat the fat. That's what we stored it for. We don't want to eat the fat because that's why we stored it, just in case it's an emergency. But this looks like it's an emergency. You burn 500 calories on the treadmill, elliptical, rower, whatever it is. And all of a sudden, the second you start moving, I think by the time you have a sweat, you're not actually hungry anymore. And when I noticed that, I said, okay, the pain is temporary in that window of not eating, especially when you have to drag yourself to the gym. But the moment you start to get your heart rate up, you're no longer hungry. You no longer feel like you're going to pass out.
Yeah.
I'd get so hungry that not just my stomach, but my jaw would hurt. Like
really?
And then when I ate something later, it felt like the same pump and release from working out, just chewing food. I'm like, man, I don't know if I've ever.
This is while you're at the gym?
Yeah.
Oh.
No. So at the gym, it'd be miserable for the first 2 minutes, and then the hunger was gone, headache left, and I was good to go. And I felt the dopamine release, and then, you know, all the feel good feelings from working out. But then later on, when I did break fast, when I was eating, not just the pleasure that happens on the tongue and of eating food, but chewing the food, felt like the pressure got released from my jaws. And I was like, really? Oh, wow, it feels good to just chew. Oh, wow. And the food's delicious, right?
Yes.
So
I was reading a book once. I love to read. And it wasn't even a book about nutrition or health or anything. But they were touching on the subject of, like, you know, nourishment and to the body and stuff like that. And they were saying how a lot of the times, or most of the times, like, when you think you're hungry, you're really not hungry. You're just dehydrated.
Yep.
And yep. I just never made that connection. But I remember thinking to myself and being like, man, there's times where, like, I know I'm not hungry, but I could eat. But I'm not gonna, like, go above and beyond and go get some food. But if it's in front of me, sure, I'd eat it. Like, if I just saw, like, two slices of pizza, like, you know, I could scarf them down.
Yes.
But I'm not really that hungry. I would just be scarfing it down. So then I was thinking about it, and I was like, man, these are probably the moments where, like, my water intake is low.
Yes.
And I'm not, you know, hydrating myself properly. And it's just that I just need to hydrate myself. And then it literally said, like, 9 out of 10 times you just hydrate yourself and get some water in, get some fluid going. You'll be like, huh, interesting. Not hungry.
Yes. And that's actually the thing where if I'm not training, but I'm still working out, right? I made a distinction between training and working out. That's when I would be gaining weight from excess calories, is because I was grazing, right? It's like, oh, you have 3 meals a day, 4 meals a day. But in between, it was not just a snack. Like, how far is 2 slices of pizza putting you back if you're keeping track of your calories, right? So it was a moment of self-realization of what I was taking in when I was snacking. That would be equivalent to a small meal. Well, you do that 3 times a day outside of your regular meal times.
Right.
Oh, you just ate twice your caloric intake for the day, right?
Right. Yeah, that was huge for me, because I remember being like, so this is the moments where I don't feel hungry, but I can eat, but I know I shouldn't. It's like, I just ate 2 hours ago. Mm. Like, why am I feeling like this? Mm. And it's like, hey, bro, you got to get your water in. Mm. And that was, you know, I think even for me, it was always like, be fit and stay fit, because season's coming.
Yes.
Be fit and stay fit, because we're in season, or there's a tournament, you know, next week, and you're competing, and then you have scouts looking at you when you're in high school, and it's like this thing. But as an adult, and, you know, obviously you not being a professional athlete, I realized that even if you stay fit and you maintain that and you do your best to, you know, meet your goals in that, like, you perform so much better on your day-to-day basis. You get more done, you have more energy, you know, your mental fog is gone, you just feel better, you feel like your body is just giving you so much more, where you're kind of like, man, it's almost like comparing it like to analogy, where it's like, you know, you might be dating someone and they give you 100% one day, and then the next day it's like 50%, and you're gonna feel that difference.
You know,
if it goes from like 100 to 95%, you maybe not feel it, But if someone's giving you their 100%, you know, they're talking to you, they're replying to you, you know, they're making effort to see you, like all this, and you're like, whoa, this is dope. Like, I love this. And then the next day, it's like, kind of like ghosting you, kind of dry. You're going to be like, wait, what's going on here? And I feel like that's how it is when you put the right stuff in your body and then you see it perform at its best, that when you don't do that, you suffer from being like, whoa, yesterday I was killing it. Today I look like a shadow of myself. Mm. And it's happened to me recently. Like, I, for the most part, eat pretty clean. Obviously, I have my cheat days, you know, where I, you know, overindulge or whatever. But I was telling a friend of mine just recently, too. I've been eating clean for a while. Then it was like 2 a.m. I was having a cigar with a friend at his house. And we decided to go to Tommy's.
Okay. At like 2:30
in the morning. Mind you, I already know Tommy's.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
the chili burgers.
Yeah, yeah. I know those go through you. You know what I'm saying?
Of course.
Yeah, yeah.
So, stay less. Yes, bro, I know.
But I hadn't had Tommy's in maybe over, I don't know, man, like 5-6 years. Like, it had
been. And what happened?
So, let me tell you. So we get there and I'm already prepared. Like, I'm going to eat this burger and I'm going to dip.
Yeah.
I got to go home. I'm just like.
I'm not a fortune teller, but yeah, I know what's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. If only life worked that way.
Yeah, oh, man.
Yeah, you know. So I go to Tommy's and I was like, you know what? I'm going to go all out because I don't go to Tommy's. Mm-hmm. So I get the burger with the chili cheese.
Of course, you have to.
I have to.
Oh, yeah.
Told him extra cheese, even though I'm lactose.
Oh, God.
So I'm setting myself up. I'm telling you, I knew I was going to eat it, and I was just going to go straight home.
Yeah.
And then I got the chili cheese fries, extra chili. So I was just going in or whatever. And then I got, like, the milkshake that they have or whatever. So
I'm
like,
threat.
Yeah. the Bermuda Triangle of, like,
that's the one.
So, dude, I eat it, and don't get me wrong, man. Like, I ate this thing, and I was like, oh, my God. Like my brain was like, why did you not, you know, where you've been this whole time?
Yes.
Incredible. The chili cheese fries tasted amazing, bro. And I was having such a good time just killing my meal.
Mm-hmm.
Then the milkshake and everything. And I was like, all right, I got to shake, literally.
Yeah,
like,
I got to shake.
No pun. Yes. And then instantly, it was like my body was like, yo, Will, what are you doing, bro? Like, I don't
thought we were friends.
Exactly.
And you'd betray me like this?
Exactly. It literally felt like.
You'd stab me in the gut?
It literally felt like my body was like, yo, like, what are you doing? Like, why would you do this, bro? Like, you're better than this. Like, we've been so good. And then you go over here and you want to start, you know, like, this is not cool.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I paid for it. You know, it was just, man, it was bad, dude. I went straight home. That thing went. Just
yes.
Gone.
Yes.
But here's the thing about it was, even the next day in the morning, I felt like crap.
The residuals.
Dude, I felt heavy as hell.
Yes.
I felt lethargic.
Of course.
I felt mental fog.
Yes. Sludge in the system.
I felt just sludge. I just felt like I was reacting a little slower than my normal self. Like, everything was just kind of like just almost in slow-mo, dude.
Yes.
I was like, this
that's
is,
exactly what it
was
is.
Hard to get out of bed.
Yes.
And I was like, I almost thought I was getting sick.
Yo.
I was literally like, am I getting sick?
Fam, did you go to the gym the next day?
Yeah, in the afternoon, but not
what
right.
Did the sweat smell like?
Bro.
Yeah.
I'm trying
yes.
to... Bro.
Yes. That's how you know.
Bro, I'm trying to tell yes. you, I was just like, dude, like, it was also a great reminder that I've been good to my body.
Yeah.
Where my body rejects it automatically.
Nice.
Because I think when you're so used to, like, Taco Bell used to be my thing.
Like, you and my girl should hang out.
Dude, Taco Bell, even to this day, if I'm craving something, like, I don't know if it's a little bit of childhood mixed with nostalgia. Two of my aunties worked at Taco Bell.
Okay.
So they'd bring the big old, like, box of, like, crunchy tacos.
Got that ill discount.
The Mexican pizza and all that. And my little brother actually ended up, his first job was Taco Bell.
No way.
So Taco Bell's in our family, dude.
Okay.
So and it doesn't help that I live, like, across the street from one right now.
Oh, no.
It would get to the point where I would have it so much, and I was just like, I don't know if it's because I'm younger, but like, it didn't affect me. I didn't really care. I just went on with my life. But now, anytime I overindulge in like a big chunk of chocolate cake or like a very salty, you know, pretzel with all the breading and the cheese, and you dip it, and like, I pay the price, and I always remind myself, like, man, it's literally my body's way of saying, like, bro, like, this, you ain't built like this.
Yeah,
no,
not anymore.
This ain't us no more. And, and it wants out. It just rejects it. So, you know, it's cool to have that, you know, that cheat meal, kind of indulge in it. But it was also a reminder to me. It's like, yo, like, you no longer identify with putting this crap in your body.
Absolutely.
And your body is telling you, like, bro.
Yeah, don't get down with that either.
Don't get down with that. Yeah, exactly. Which kind of was like, okay, cool. Because I remember I used to eat fast food all the time.
Yeah, same.
Especially, you know, interning at studios, like, kind of doing the music thing. It's like, I couldn't spend $25, $20 on a meal every day. It was like dollar menus all day, baby. Yeah. Like, you know, keep it moving. And yeah, that was definitely a lesson learned on that one.
What you just said about not being built like that anymore. Well, you broke down what the old way of doing things was, and then you made it a new standard. You built up that standard through clean eating, exercise, regular sleeping pattern, that routine. And then going back to that old way of doing thing and your body rejecting it is such a good indicator that you've evolved.
Yeah.
And I'm exactly the same way. And the thing that I'm concerned about are the holidays. Because in October...
Holidays start in October?
Yeah, well, so no. In California, Halloween starts in August. Yeah, so people are already getting geared up. I'm like, yo, this is way too soon, right?
Wait, what do you do? Halloween dinners?
No, so watch. You have the junk food from Halloween, and it's around everywhere. So
what's the junk food? Right, are you talking about candy?
Look, it is casual. You have the Kit Kat in the bowl. Cool. Or watch what happens around Halloween. There'll just be excess. People be like, oh, I just have it here. My pocket's here, and my backpack here. And my briefcase here in my glove box. It's like, all right. And that's specifically for October, right? So more candy, right? All right.
Because your sugar intake goes up.
Yeah, of course. But then there's Thanksgiving and the things that lead up to Thanksgiving, that lead up to Christmas. So these are all parties that will have excess.
Are these family or company
events? This is everything in all areas, all regards. So... in my mind, it's saying, all right, how can you navigate that without just being like, no, I don't eat candy. Okay. Oh, no, I don't drink. Nope. I actually don't even eat food, right? It's to the point where the healthy balance, like that moderation, would be like, okay, I know what I'm eating today. I can afford a Kit Kat. But then, oh, I had a Kit Kat today. You're not gonna have a Kit Kat tomorrow, right? And I think that's not like any other time of the year. It's a very specific 3 months. And if you want to be even really aware, it would go Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, Valentine's Day. In between that, there are so many celebrations that kind of get shoehorned into the mix. And you can name it quinceañeras, birthdays, anniversaries, whatever it is, work celebrations, awards, accolades, all these things.
Weddings.
Where it becomes a spread constantly, right? If you have a studio thing, like a big event for celebration, are you really going to turn down like that, all that stuff there, right? So it's like, okay, well, how do I navigate that and not be so austere, right? So yeah, I think it really comes down to one of your key points of making that adjustment, realizing that bad times don't last always, and then making a new routine no matter how you feel. And then when you indulge every now and then, just don't make it a habit,
right?
And to catch when it becomes a habit is to, okay, let me go back to phase one. Here's the routine. This is what I do. This is how I eat. This is how I work out. This is how I work.
Yeah.
Just self, you know, just being accountable mm-hmm. for the stuff that you're putting into your body. And I think just even in, not just in nutrition, but just self accountability mm-hmm. Is huge. Like, I think one of the most beautiful things you can do is when you know you can trust yourself, because you know that when you can trust yourself, there's a certain amount of discipline, there's a certain amount of will, there's a certain amount of strength and perseverance, and even sometimes taking the emotion out of something, or, you know, I'm really sleepy today, I'm feeling really lazy, like, I've had a bad day, I don't want to go to the gym, but you still do it anyway.
Yes.
And a lot of the times, those workouts honestly end up being like some of the best.
Yes.
Like, where you finish your workout and you're steaming in the parking lot as you're walking to your car, you're like, man, I'm so glad I came today. Like, and an hour and a half before, 2 hours before, you're complaining about how you didn't want to go.
Yes.
So I think when you can, you know, trust yourself, and like I said, not even just in when we're talking about nutrition and you know, working out, but even in life, right? When someone disrespects you, can you trust yourself to let go of that friendship? You know, when someone crosses your boundaries, can you speak on yourself? When someone, you're being treated a certain way at work, can you tell your boss, hey, I don't like when you call me this? Can we, you know, like, when you can trust yourself to stand up for yourself mm-hmm. and get things done, and you remove the emotion out of it just because they're hard things to do, then I think you start really aligning with yourself and you understand yourself a lot better. So it's easier to do the hard things, because the hard things, like, they never just one day just get easier. You nope. just continue to do them.
Yes.
You know, they're still going to be hard. It's yes. still hard. A cold plunge is a cold plunge, yes. baby. The water is going to be just as cold or even colder depending on the season and depending mm-hmm. where you're at. It doesn't get easier. You just learn how to do the hard things every day consistently. Yes. That, you know. That,
little side note. Did you look at my notes? Because
you think I got a cheat sheet, dude?
I don't know what you did. If I walked out of here for a second, because you actually talked about all the talking points that I wanted to speak on today. And one of those was, what are the statute of limitations for being reconciled, right? And what are those order of operations look like? And what you had said about, calling out your boss for speaking to you a certain way, or a friendship that ended because there was a misunderstanding, or the person was taking advantage of the friendship, and you're like, no, this is not how it's going to work.
Right.
Like, all of that are things that are going to happen to everyone, no matter what season of life they're in, no matter whatever their stance is on the totem pole of work life, right? What does that look like for drawing the line and then, not letting it go until you really get to down to the bottom of it.
Right. Yeah, I think once you have those, like I said, you learn how to do the hard decisions and have that self-accountability and really begin to trust yourself, you become a lot more clear on the things that you want in your life. And that's, you know, like I said, friendships, relationships, like, you start creating certain boundaries, and if people decide they want to cross them, then, you know, you can trust yourself to make the decision and not be a part of that. And I think that's a beautiful thing. I think a lot of times, you know, there's a lot of people pleasing that can happen. There's a lot of, you know, I don't want to rock the ship, so I'll keep my peace, but the ship is drowning, dude. You know what I'm saying? So I think sometimes friendships last longer than it could, because it's just like, well, we've known each other this long, right? But like, are you really friends? Because even in friends, it takes effort.
Yes.
To be a great friend. Yes. At least to me,
both like, ways.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's two-way street. Exactly. Yeah, absolutely.
So it's like, it's one of those things where when you take all those aspects, you know, even in, you know, relationships where you're kind of like, I know exactly what I want, I have my ideal version of the kind of woman I would like to be romantically involved
with. Yes.
When you get really, really, really clear on those things, I think it just helps all parties, because you know exactly what you want from someone. Someone you know you're going to spend a lot of time with.
Yes.
And I think if you just kind of go like, well, she's cool, I'll figure it out. You'll kind of like, you know, you'll kind of learn that. It's even in nutrition, you know, if you, I'm going to lose 40 pounds, and you just like, I'm going to go to the gym and I'll figure it out.
I'll figure
it. You know what I'm saying?
I'm going to float at the gym. Exactly. I'll be a floater. No, don't float.
What's that saying where they say, I'm going to butcher it again, man.
But all good.
I think it was something where it was, you don't want to learn how to fight during a fight.
Mm. Definitely not.
You know what I'm saying?
You
train for this. You know
absolutely
what I'm saying? You train for this. You prepare your mind, your body,
yes,
and the stuff that you're feeding your body to give you the strength to perform at your highest capacity. Exactly.
All right. So you just created a problem because there's about three talking points off of just that last section of speaking.
They're going to think we set this right up, dude.
No, this is not a set. This is primo conversation. All right. So, first one, I think we're gonna have to, I'm gonna line them up and we're gonna address them however you want. So the first thing was, when a friendship has run its course, when to let go. The next was, what's the line in the sand for being disrespected and letting it go?
Right.
The next is, in a relationship, what's that ideal woman? Or who's that person that you want to spend the rest of your life with? What does that look like? What are you willing to tolerate? What you're going to just pass on.
Right.
And then the next was the guidelines for reconciliation that Jesus says.
Got
so
it.
Which one do you want to address first?
We could do the first one. When you know it's time to let go of a friendship or friendship or relationship or both or
okay. Either one. Yeah.
To me, honestly, I think, I don't think it happens. I've speaking from experience, I had a friendship that was like 6 years, 5 years. I mean, that's a long friendship. Spent a lot of time with this person, so I'm speaking from experience, but not to get too detailed with it. I think for me, the biggest indicator is like your body starts to reject this energy, this thing. Dang. Because I feel like when you hang out with someone and then you stop hanging out, like you guys go your separate ways, sometimes you get this like boost of like energy. Mm-hmm. You feel good and you feel like you guys are just pouring into each other's cups. And it's like, but I feel like when you hang out with someone where it comes from a place of like maybe it's ran its course, when you don't, you almost feel like you've been drained of energy.
Yes.
You feel lethargic. You feel like, oh, man, like hopefully we don't do this again next week, because I'm gonna have to bail on him,
yes,
or her or whoever it may be. So I think your body starts feeling even sometimes anxiety. You're walking on eggshells, like your interests are shifting, and maybe you don't want to bring it up because you don't want to upset. So now you're just tiptoeing around stuff. Mm. And I think when it gets to that level, I think it's time to go. But again, it takes the heart a while to catch up to what the body is already sensing. But we're all energy, you know. Like I can enjoy my friend's company and be around him like all day and feel like we spent 2 hours together.
Yes.
Same thing romantic.
That's a good sign.
You know, that's a great sign. That's good energy. That means you guys are aligned. That means like on the frequency spectrum, you guys are just, it's just working. And I think even romantically, right? Like if, you know, you have someone, you know, for example, me, I'm, you know, talking to a girl or something, you know, romantically involved, it's like you can just like stare at the wall for hours and enjoy that in itself. And you could be, you're like, whoa, we've been staring for 8 hours. Like it felt like 20 minutes.
That's the quality time.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And for me, like quality time and quality conversations is part of my love language.
Yeah.
So it already is involved with the things that make me tick. So make me go and that I like. So when I feel like I'm not enjoying our conversations, I'm not growing, I feel like I'm tiptoeing around, walking on eggshells. For me, I feel like it's time to just, you got to let that one go.
All right.
And go from there.
All right. I'm right there with you. That feeling of exhaustion after spending a lot of time with someone is a key indicator that needs some space, just needs a little bit of space. But let me run this by you, because this was today's reading, right? And this gives me the protocol for... going navigating all these different types of relationships. Jesus said to his disciples, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have won over your brother. If he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, so that every fact may be established on the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell the church. If he refuses to listen even to the church, then treat him as you would a Gentile or a tax collector. Amen, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, amen, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything for which they are to pray, it shall be granted to them by my heavenly Father. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in their midst of them." I don't know how that hits you. In my world, I try and apply that to everything. Being like, all right, we got some tension. We have some beef. There's some static. Just talk one-on-one, man to man, or mankind to mankind, right? Depends if I'm talking to a lady, right?
Yeah.
Let's get down to the bottom of this, because I didn't like how I left, how when we left, this there's a bad taste in my mouth.
Right.
I didn't like how this thing didn't get addressed. I don't like what I heard. I heard from a mutual friend that you said something, right? Calling them out, keeping them accountable. And then from that point, seeing the next step is huge, because across the board, the biggest fallouts that I've had with people never made it to, oh, bring another friend with you to address it, right? So that right. Those moments where I'm talking it over with a buddy about another friend of mine, I'd be like, hey, this is a tall order. I want us to get together, because I'm telling you the beef that I have with this person. Am I crazy? Did I take this too personally? And most of the time, the other person's like, actually, I don't want to get involved with this. This is between you and them. I'm like, whoa, hold on. I know you're a mutual third party. Well, I should say a third party, not mutual. But you know the both of us. Help be a mediator between the two of us before it escalates.
Right.
And if that doesn't happen, oh, there's the fallout. Oh, why haven't you talked to that person in 5 years? Oh, I can tell you exactly why. They did this, right? That same principle, I think, can be applied in romantic relationships too. I'll just be like, oh, real quick, I don't like the way that you did this. I would like it if you did this instead. Do you,
right.
Like, explain the backstory if you want, but it's as simple as that one line. I don't like this. I'd prefer that. Where are you coming from? Because this is why I got bent out of shape, right?
Right. Yeah, that's...
What do you...
That's... It's... to me, it's still... I mean, it doesn't baffle me, but it's pretty spot on how you can take, you know, something like what you just read and apply it today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, absolutely. Apply it literally today. And I think that's one of the beauties of it, because sometimes, you know, I have the Bible app, like it's Neon Bible, I think it's called, and they send you like every day.
Oh, cool!
You get like, you know, the verse of the day,
yeah,
or devotion or whatever it may be, and it pops up every morning. And man, sometimes I'm just like, are they like listening to my conversations? Because
keyword, let me find that in the scripture, put it to them.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, I have even when here's the crazy part, even when I don't get one that I'm like, I read it and I read up on it, and it's cool because it has a translation as to like breaks it down to like a much simpler concept so you can understand it better if it's hard to understand, right? So I read that as well, and you know, I have someone who sometimes sends me the ones that she's getting, and if I'm telling her stuff about my day or my week, she sends it to me as like, hey, look, like I think this is like,
this is a sign,
yeah,
this confirmation,
yeah. And then like she just did that like yesterday.
Awesome.
And I remember reading it because we were talking about a certain something that I'm getting ready to do, but I've been very like, you know, just fearful about it or doubting myself, and it kind of touched on that, and then like she sent it to me, and I was just like, it's crazy how I didn't get it, but she got it. Mm-hmm. But she knows about my situation, and she sent it to me, and I was like, whoa, like,
yes,
I can relate to that so much. I was like, you're talking about me.
Yes.
And I thought that was, you know, like I said, I thought that was beautiful. For yes. Sure.
So that's, that is God talking to you through your friend.
Right.
And that is like part and parcel of the whole relationship between the person and God. It's that hearing back, not just talking to him, not just saying all these things, rattling off prayers. It's hearing back and then responding to it. And that happens in real time, just like in this situation, right?
Yeah.
So moving to relationships, romantic relationships, how did you say it? For the ideal romantic interest to be the relationship and then moving in the future, like this is where I draw the line. It's going to be me and her. What you'll put up with, what you won't put up with.
Right.
From, I'll just shed a little light, but not too much light, because I know my lady wouldn't want me
right.
just airing out everything.
Make sure you don't sleep on the couch.
The whole thing. Well, we don't live together, so that it makes it real easy.
Okay,
it'll be bad if I'm sleeping on my own couch in my own apartment. Right. But the whole thing is, just to start off, there are so many more positives than negatives right. with her.
Right.
And then the negatives are very small things, right? And it mostly comes down to our differences in temperament and then our history as being human beings, right?
Right.
The things that we just have ingrained from childhood, right? And so she'll probably tell you immediately. Something that I bring up immediately is when I get interrupted. Right. And that's one of my biggest pet peeves in life. And part of her and her development as a woman is that she comes from a family that always interrupts each other.
Got it.
Right. And so this is new, that someone would be saying, hey, I actually don't like when you do that. Hey, it bothers me when you do this. And so now it's more of something we laugh about, because I'm like, I don't even know I should begin this conversation, because I know the point I want to make will be interrupted. Right. And so it doesn't come out as flippant as that, but it's more of a thing like saying, okay, what are some big things that I don't like? Oh, adjust them case by case. And that protocol from today's reading was saying, if you have an issue, bring it up one-on-one. And it wouldn't be like, oh, just waiting, not ever telling her I don't like being interrupted when I'm in the middle of making a point,
right?
And then one day make a grand speech on a podcast or in a public situation where I just put her on blast entirely. And then she goes, well, how come you never told me? Like, now I have problems with you because you waited
right.
and held on to this mm-hmm. thing. This is actually the opposite. That's why I'm willing to talk about it. Because it's very minute compared to all the good things that she does bring to the table and who she is as a person. Right. So to move it forward you apply it in your world.
Right.
When you're seeing someone, you're talking to someone, you're dating someone, at what point do you bring up the things that bother you? Or do you say, you know what, I'm going to choose my own battle. I'm not going to bring up the thing that actually did rub me the wrong way.
To be honest, I think the sooner you bring it up, the better.
I agree. Yes.
The sooner you can have that conversation, especially if you feel it's someone that you're looking to be serious with, someone mm-hmm. you feel like, we have some here. This is special. Feels special to me. Mm. Feels special to you. Mm. Okay, cool. Let's have the hard conversations.
Yeah.
Even in, I'll go back right now to the relationships, but even in business, I've learned that the sooner you bring up the budget or the money, you'll know if it's the right fit for both of you. Mm. Because you can promise, yeah, I'll have this. And if you're a graphic designer, this logo, we'll do this printout, we'll do a banner for your business and cups, and we'll design this. And you're just, you know, enamored with everything. And that's cool and all. And if you leave the budget to the end, they're like, okay, this is going to be a $20,000 project, and you're like, whoa, my budget was $2,000.
Yeah.
Well, that's not going to work, is it?
Yes.
And you just spent this whole time just thinking that this was going to be it. So for me, I think the older I've gotten, the more I've realized that, like, you know, this is just my personal belief. It's just that love isn't just a feeling, like it's a commitment.
Absolutely.
And you know, the feeling part of it are easy to feel, but it's kind of like, you know, when if I'm seeing someone or dating someone, I think the faster we have the conversation of, hey, so how do you deal with conflict? Mm-hmm. You know, when you're having a bad day, what does that look like? Mm-hmm. You know, when you're upset and mad at the world, what do you tend to do? When you're not feeling it and you just want a way out, how do you cope? You know, if we happen to go through like a financial crisis, you know, how would you react? How do we get it together? Mm-hmm. Questions that to me, I think are really big, right? Like, are you family oriented? How is the relationship between you and your family? You know, like your faith, your religion, your whatever. All these questions that I think are not sexy. They're not the sexiest question. You know, yes. I think the sexy questions are like, so where do you like to go? What do you like to eat? What's your favorite like date night? Like, that's all cool and handy. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying, like, when you both decide that we have some special here and I want to continue to explore this feeling and this route, and I'm in the stage of my life where like I'm not trying to be all out there like that. I really want a partner. Mm-hmm. You know, then the sooner you can be asked these tough questions, honestly, I think the better it is, because you start understanding each mm-hmm. other, not just from the standpoint of like these, you know, enamored feelings of and the butterflies, and those are yeah. cool, but like I said, like life is life and it will life, and you have to understand that, you know, where it's like, so how do you like when this happens, or what do you do when if this situation arose, like how would you react to that? Mm-hmm. How are we gonna do this? Do you like to travel? If I love to travel and it's my passion, it's like I feel one of my life's goals, and this person's like, I hate to leave California, I never get on a plane. And then we might not be compatible. And I think that's another big thing, honestly, Dave, where it's like we can have all the connection and the chemistry in the world, but if we're just not compatible, yeah. then you have to have that tough conversation with yourself and be like, I love to hike. She does not want to leave office AC. I love to travel and try new foods. She eats the same thing every day and does not want to leave California.
Yeah.
It's like, it's telling you. It's right there. It's telling you what you need to do. So for me, it's like, you know, it's past the feeling. It's a commitment.
Yeah.
You know, it's through the ups, through the, because the ups are going to be there and the downs will, you, just as sure as you know the ups will be there, I can guarantee you the downs will be there.
Absolutely.
As well. And the thing will waver up and down through the whole course of it. But when you choose to make that commitment and you like, I love this person, and even when I'm mad, I'm going to hug you when you get back from work, no matter what.
Yes.
Even when you're mad and, you know, I cook for the family, you're still going to have your meal. Same thing for a guy. Even when you're mad, I'm going to take care of that, you know, leaky faucet. I'm not gonna do the silent treatment thing. Like,
I can't stand that.
I'm gonna love you because I made it a choice. It's past the feeling. Even if the feeling that I feel for you right now is agitated,
yes.
or annoyed or bothered or upset or mad, whatever you want to call it, you push past that and yes. you understand that you're there for that person,
yes.
no matter what.
Yeah. And those are, just hearing you say what you said and how you said it, it makes me even more grateful for Marianne, my lady, right? Because there's so many things that so many of the negative things that she just is not, right? So I can, without the shadow of a doubt, be like, oh, she's not verbally abusive, oh, she's not manipulative, oh, she's not conniving, oh, she doesn't triangulate, oh, she's not depressed, oh, she's not physically easily aggravated, want to start breaking stuff. Oh, she doesn't have a history of violence.
Right.
She's not, right? So going down that list, I'm like, whoa, why would I have even the door of opportunity open for anyone else? No, it's exclusively between us. And that type of thing crosses my mind, like, oh, you see a beautiful woman, or you know, a beautiful woman who's really friendly with you, maybe a little bit flirtatious, that doesn't become even an option to me. Cause I'm like, oh, I know what I have
right.
in her.
Absolutely.
When, you know, when I was in high school, I would have been dying for that moment,
right.
that opportunity, right?
Especially you, you're a film guy,
yeah.
dude.
Yeah. Oh man. Yes.
You waited for your moment.
Yeah. Yes. So that, I think it took having more options and then getting my heart stomped on and right. then getting kicked in the teeth by life to start saying, wait a second, I'm not going to just take a great opportunity when it shows up.
Absolutely.
Hold on. No, I can wait. I can wait. Right. And now with saying be on the same page, I actually disagree a little bit with you about, oh, if the person likes AC and being inside and I like going on adventures and all that, because I see the merit in both of them. And I think that would be a complementary relationship where it's like the opposites attract, but the give and take part would be like, oh, you can make that fun. We go on a hike this weekend. We go bowling the next weekend. Oh, we try this new food spot. Show me what you really like about what appears to be a bland meal every day. Like, what? Why do you do that?
Right.
Oh, wait. It's because that's how you grew up and your grandfather loved it that way? Oh, I'm sorry for having judged, right? But it's just that learning, that willingness to learn. And let me just stop right there for a second and just say, this is going to be key. This is going to seem completely out of left field. I'm gonna just risk it and say the statistics for, oh, you have all the options in the world, get married because you love this person and you'll probably beat the odds, like that whole mentality, the odds are not in your favor, right? It's what, 65% chance of divorce?
Yeah.
But then an arranged marriage is slightly south of 50%. I think something like 43% chance of divorce. And so if you're just looking at the stats, you're better off in an arranged marriage, right? But what if there was a take on the arranged marriage? Like, oh, you have 12 friends of yours. They could be family members, mentors, people that you look up to, acquaintances, and maybe even someone you don't even look up, someone you don't even like, but right. they know who you are, right? You get them together and say, oh, here is this lady, this is who she is, this is where she's coming from, this is her background. They vote on it. If that were a real life scenario, would you take that as an option?
Okay, before I answer, rephrase that last line. If I had, you could said,
you got a committee of 12 people,
okay,
that you know,
right?
Maybe even just one stranger, just okay. to make it a wild card, and they bring up everything from this woman's past, like family background, all that stuff,
mm-hmm.
and just looking at you and everything that you know about, everything that they know about you, they vote on it to see if this would be a match or not. Would you take that into consideration?
That's great.
And I could even make this better. You don't even know this person yet.
That's
like wild. You don't even know what they look like.
I don't even know what they look like.
Yeah.
Damn. Is this a game show that you've seen or something?
Yeah, this is just a this is wild. A game show in my mind that
right. Man, I don't know. I personally don't think I can, just because I'm very particular with what I like and with what I want,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, losing the control of such a, that's a, I think who you decide to share the rest of your life with is the biggest decision you'll make in life.
Oh, absolutely.
That's for sure.
Yeah. It'll impact your happiness. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So putting that in the hands of 12 other people, to me,
mind you, they're your friends.
I know. Yeah. But man, but you do, man, charity starts at home, dude. Like, you know,
it's true.
Yeah, so it's one of those things where I don't know if I could do it. I would probably have to pass, knowing myself, uh-huh. I would have to you know, to pass on that. But like you said, you made such an interesting you know, comment where you said, like, you know you're with your lady and you're like, if it was Dave back in high school, you'd be like, almost, it would almost be a flex that you have somebody else trying to, you know, swoop you in and you know, capture Dave and steal your heart away. But now you look at it and it's like 0% interest. It's like, yes. you understand the value that this woman is adding to, yes. your life.
Absolutely.
And you recognize it. And you know, I'm sure you not only recognize it, but you feel it, you sense it, you have proof of it. Like, it's consistent. And this is the reason why you understand and that's you being in a relationship with someone. Like, for example, like me, like I'm, you know, not to share too much, but I'm currently talking to someone, right?
Oh, what's her name? I'm joking. That's crazy.
That was good. I literally almost said it too. You literally almost got me.
No, that's so funny.
No, I'm just kidding. So, like, I'm currently talking to someone, and it's like the courting, dating, getting to know each other, the
beginning phase.
And yeah, and it's one of those things where even now I see the kind of woman she is, and I value the kind of, you know, the kind of, I feel like what she's adding to my day to day on a daily basis consistently, that it's like any other girl, it's like zero interest. Mm-hmm. And we're just talking about like beginning stages.
Yes.
But even there, I'm able to like recognize and be like, whoa, like the kind of value that she adds to my day to day, the way that she tends to calm my nervous system, the way I feel when I'm around her, the kind of conversations we have, the way that, you know, we talk about our likes and dislikes and our love languages and get into really deep, you know, in-depth conversations. It's like, it makes me go, whoa, like, what a woman, you know? And it makes all these other, not that there's other people, but I'm saying like, just, there's just zero interest to me.
Where, it takes the options and makes them not options.
Exactly.
Like, I'm not even going to consider
like,
it.
Like, not even close. So for me, like, hearing you say that, it's like, I understand that because I'm currently in that where it's like, oh, like, this girl can, you know, can tell you, like, oh, my God, you're so attractive, Will. You're so handsome. And it's like, yeah, it's like, you want to hear that from the girl you're talking to. That's the only one that matters. That's the only one that makes you, like, oh, man, you know? So it would be a very, very interesting way to go out if I have no say in and choosing the person, and I just got a bunch of buddies, because my buddies are they're clowns, dude. They'll probably try to set me up.
Well, here's the thing. They know what they're doing,
right?
And you selected them.
That's,
but you only can choose 12. So you say put your cousin on there, put your uncle on there.
I feel like they conspire against me, dude.
No, but that's the thing. No, they have not all had this moment of, we're gonna set her. No, it's more like, oh, hey, like the way you'd reach out to your best man when you have that big day, or oh, here's some people I want in that circle. That's how you'd select them, and it wouldn't be all of their, oh, hey, all 12 of my buddies are here, we're gonna be playing this game. No, I'm telling my best friend, hey, that's more than a blind date. Like an arranged marriage, but I want you to vote on it. So if it's majority rules, like, oh no, 7 out of the 12 say no, then they'd say, we pass on this person, right?
Got it.
And then I guess modernizing it a bit, I had a buddy in college who, he was from Turkey, right? And religion never came up, family really didn't come up, right? And then right after he graduated, he had an arranged marriage. He talked to the girl and her family once on Skype, and then went back to Turkey, got married. Right?
Yeah.
And I was like, yo, wait, what?
Yeah.
Wait, you just met her on Skype once? And he's like, yeah, well, our families agreed, and that's how we do it in our culture. I'm like, you never brought this up once. Like, oh, hey, I'm not dating because I believe in arranged marriages. But it was so casual that I'm like, all right, hold on, what's this all about? And there's this show, Indian Matchmaker on Netflix. You see that?
No.
Go check it out. It's dope. It's showing real life people in that scenario. And you might meet once or twice, like with the parents.
Right.
And with the person.
Right.
And then they ask you, hey, well, they say, this is beneficial both families. Both families have a history of success in the business place and whatever field of expertise. This is the education. This is what it is. This is more of a transaction for securing a generation, right? It has nothing to do with, am I attracted to this person?
Right.
Or anything else. So it pretty much takes everything else that we do in the Western culture out of it. But then the numbers do not lie. Right? Like, well, why does that work? Oh, because human nature, you'll eventually be attracted.
Right.
Or that person might be drop dead gorgeous to you out of the gate, but they're not bringing that as the deciding factor. And so I think the human nature side of it takes over real fast. And so if you're willing to say, I commit to this and I'm accountable because our families are involved,
right,
that puts a whole nother perspective and tone on it.
Right.
And so the whole thing that I'm getting at is I'd be open. Well, I'm not open now because I'm committed to my lady. No, I don't get any ideas. But the whole thing is just as an option, if we as a culture are willing to accept online dating, and like it's not even, no one even raises an eyebrow when someone's like, oh yeah, we met online and now we're married, right? But that algorithm is incredibly accurate if you're honest with your profile, right? And something like Tinder, Coffee and Bagel, all those dating, all of whatever your interest is and whatever the reputation is, those have actually been dumbed down because of how accurate they were.
That's wild.
Right? So all the other ones, like name the ones with the bad, I should say bad, all the ones with more of a negative reputation, those have been dangerously watered down so people will use them more.
Yeah.
Because they all started off doing the same thing. Like, oh, let's have these people who get matched up. Mm. When in reality, people who are on that specific one aren't looking for Mrs. Right or Mr. Right.
Right.
They're looking for companionship for the night. Right. Yeah. And that's it. Mm-hmm. Right. So, yeah.
I think that's a great way to wrap it up. That
let's
that
do it.
Sums it up. You want to lead us out?
So, Will is all about arranged marriages.
Oh my God.
I'm just messing. And I just had to. It was perfect time. I had to take it. You got to take your shot. You know this.
No, that was good. That was good.
All right. Guess that's what we're in. So this is UVU, your man's Dave Woods. These are a couple keys, mostly straight from the horse's mouth. Will gave it away on what to look out for, what to do, what led to coming out of the hardest year and season of his life. And it was that routine. So if you're hearing this and you're in a rut, or if you're going around on an endless loop in a cul-de-sac, go to the gym, brush your teeth, go to work, go back to the gym, rinse, wash, repeat. These are the keys that have built us up to where we're at right now. We give them to you. You got to open the door and walk through it yourself. UVU, peace and blessings.
Peace.
Peace.